This is Managing Mayhem,
brought to you by two lawyers and a layman.
Because good intentions are not a legal defense.
Wait, I'm sorry, they're not? Okay, well, let's get going then.
Hi, and welcome to Managing Mayhem, a workplace podcast released every 2 weeks. Each episode, we cover a new topic to help HR managers and employees navigate the daily workplace mayhem. Good morning, I'm Jeff.
I'm Patty.
And I'm Jack, and I'm not a robot. And I'm also not a lawyer.
Today, we are going to talk about moonlighting, you guys.
Yeah.
Woo! And that's not a movie.
No.
Not yet.
I Googled it.
So a lot of people ask me, what is moonlighting? It has several definitions, but the traditional one is working your 9-to-5 job and then working a second job after you leave work. But in 2023, moonlighting also can mean working two jobs actually at the same time.
Right, that side hustle starts to dip into your actual job. Or
I'm working 9-to-5 just parallel on two laptops. Right. The left hand's on one, the left hand's on the other.
Just really good at simultaneous typing.
Very ambidextrous from the start.
Serious multitaskers.
Yeah. Literally. All right, so what stats are we seeing here with 2023 moonlighting?
Right. So over 8 million people have multiple jobs in 2023.
Damn. So that's a hard knock life out there. It makes sense.
Yeah.
Things are crazy.
Right. I mean, I think there's a lot of factors as why people are doing it. Everything from just like inflation and the gas prices.
I mean, I think that's the main one, inflation, right? Yeah. I mean, ridiculous costs out there for people.
Right.
People just can't make enough money from one job. And that's really sad in the United States. The other thing I've seen is that some employers are not giving them enough hours. So full time is now 32 hours or 30 hours. And so then they have to go get more hours to pay their bills.
Right. And then you see the people who just, they want to earn more money. So they want to have that side hustle to get additional income or passive income. Or they want to start moving into a direction, an actual career that they want to be in and, you know, kind of get those skills. So there's a lot to it, a lot of factors for sure.
Well, and there's so many reasons to do it as well, where you're like, it's smart now to even diversify your income. So whether you're setting yourself up financially for a career move or you're just trying to pool, you know, source your money from different places, because not every industry is so reliable. That's also, I think, a reason why people are doing it.
And I think with the internet now too, I mean, it's so much easier to have like an e-commerce site if you're selling things, or even to drive Uber or Lyft. I mean, you don't have to get like the traditional like taxi cab license. I mean, you get signed up through those programs. You get
I don't think the Ubers I go in even have a driver's license, but hey, I'm just saying.
I barely have a driver's license. me both, pal. Don't know how we're going to get there. Hopefully we make it.
I got my bike.
I've got my bike in the back. You can get on.
How many Ubers do you go into to get a ride where they tell you that this isn't their main job? I mean, I get that a lot.
Most of them, I'd say the majority.
It's a way to make money in the evenings. It's like having a restaurant job at night, something that you can work your 9-to-5 and then you can make your own hours on the side hustle.
Right.
So people need the money. They're finding multiple ways to make it. Why are employers worried about that?
You know, I think there's a lot of things. One, if they're working a moonlighting where they work their day shift and then go work at night to another job, they're worried about fatigue. And with fatigue comes safety, potential accidents, lower productivity since they're juggling a night job and a day job. That's the first thing I see.
Okay, that makes sense.
The other concern is that there's a conflict of interest, right? They're just taking their skills from your job, and then they're going and working for a competitor or setting up their own shop or providing the similar services. I think we've seen more of that. And we'll talk about some specific considerations, but in particular with remote work.
Right. And Jeff, even worse, they're using your company equipment that you issued for them to work at home on your laptop, and they're working two jobs on that.
Right. They're working on the clock while they're doing their side hustle on the clock. That's another one we've seen. We've actually had clients with that issue where they're like, hey, we have this guy who's like setting up, you know, his gamer streaming profile.
In his cubicle.
Right, he should be selling something for us.
The full Xbox out.
Right.
Way back to the 80s, I look back, and even working at the prosecutor's office, you would go into the women's restroom, and there was set up the Yankee Candle display. You can call Sally to purchase this at extension 215.
Here's just a little sampler of the Snickerdoodle special.
Someone was selling Yankee Candles?
Jack, our bathroom became like one of those, you know, fairs where the trade fair where they all someone was selling Tupperware on the bathroom counter and saying you have, you know, here's different options, and they had a flyer out.
Welcome to the bathroom. I made these earrings.
You want some throwing knives?
Head to stall number 3. Yeah.
It became ridiculous to try to navigate the hallways because people were hitting you up for
and
their sizing.
What does this all say about a prosecutor's salary?
Didn't pay enough for yeah, government. Say,
which is a consideration we're going to talk about. But
my point is that I can't even imagine now with all the e-commerce how it's so right. much easier to do it than Sally setting yeah. up the Yankee Doodle candle. Is it a Yankee Doodle?
You have
candle
a much broader
Yankee candle.
You have a much Snickerdoodle.
Yeah, you have yeah, a much yeah. broader market.
Well, and the accessibility of being online, truly, I feel like I know so many people who work, especially in a certain industry, like in IT or something, that it's easier mm-hmm. for them to do both at the same time right. from their home.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know.
In fact, the studies I saw were saying that IT is one of the most moonlighted and also simultaneous moonlighting, you know, during your day shift jobs that there are. And a lot of employers don't know that their employees are doing that. That worries me from a confidentiality and conflict of interest.
Everyone trusts IT because when you forget that password, and you got to call them and they reset it. You know, they're the key holders.
Let them moonlight.
Right.
Let them all moonlight because I don't want to get on their bad side.
Right.
I think that the issue should give pause and make companies reflect as well. If people mm-hmm. are having
yep.
to do it,
yep.
Then there's stuff to consider in your own company's framework.
Right.
So what are some things that employees, when this is happening, should consider?
Well, Jeff and I were talking about, first of all, before we even get to considerations, the first consideration you should think about is, do you really even have leverage to control them from working second jobs? Because the unemployment is right. so low still, you're so desperate mm-hmm. for employees. So just keep that in mind. Like, you may lose them if you make all kinds of restrictions on them.
And my question is if people are able to work those jobs, like, what's it to anybody else? Like, if someone is able to moonlight successfully at two jobs without anybody knowing, and it's not a conflict of interest, why does anyone care?
Right. I mean, I do agree with that. I think that you need to think about your company, but I think that there are plenty of employees out there who can successfully moonlight. But the problem is when it does dip into the realm and there become some serious concerns. I mean, I'd say the first thing you have to have as a company is a conflict of interest policy. I mean, to me, that's what you want to protect.
Yes.
If they want to go drive an Uber or sell earrings in prosecutor's bathroom, they don't compete right. with, you know, what you're doing.
First thing I think of when I go to the bathroom is, can I get some jewelry?
Can I get some fine homemade jewelry crafts?
I'd love a bracelet.
You know, but I agree that you don't want to control their off-duty conduct. You want to protect conflict of interest, like Jeff right. is saying. And so right. you're going to prohibit them working for a direct competitor.
Yep.
You know, that is mm-hmm. the first thing. The other thing is, you want to make sure that you're outlining expectations that, okay, you may have a second job, but you are going to be held to our performance standards yep. when you're here. And so, and also our attendance. So if you're calling in sick at one job and going to another, you know, you're abusing our attendance policy, you're going to be held to account for that.
Mm-hmm. Right. When I worked at the restaurant, this one really small Italian restaurant, it was great. And I think I thought I could get away with practicing all my sketching while I was there. And I'd be like, it's not conflicting with my work at all. But literally it would be like a brunch and it would be like, Jack, I'm like, oh, and I think I also liked that. I was like, I'm sketching, it doesn't matter, but I got fired.
Well, Jack, but that leads me to the next thing is, you know, an employee should be able to ask. There's some jobs that are really boring, you know what I mean? That you're just sitting there. And so I've had people ask, can I study? You know,
right.
I'm a student, and some people don't mind. So tell them they need to get permission before they're working right. another job or doing other functions on the clock.
Right.
But that's a hard question to ask. I feel like if my employee was like, is it cool if I step aside and kind of do this? I'd be like, well, you could do something else here.
I'm going to give you a couple other tasks to do right
actually,
now.
My office is messy.
Most managers would say no, you know.
Right. I think I would.
No. No, I mean, I think that's an option for an employee is to talk to the manager and see. Maybe they'd let you do it. But the other issue, I mean, Patty, you already mentioned this, is really using company equipment, or just
because that's an investment,
right? They're using the internet or they're on their website in your office. I mean, we've seen it plenty of times where people pull up browser history. This is where you get IT involved again, but
and maybe HR,
right? But you pull up browser history and it's got their whole, like, everything that they've been looking at for their own side hustle. And so it's like, right. Okay, that's our company time. Property, it's our internet, our computer usage, and so that would fall under other policies that you'd likely have in place for using company equipment.
Because then they're just abusing your resources that you're providing.
Okay, so for me as an employer, this isn't. I don't really care what they're doing. I don't care, but at night, you know, or off duty, if it's not a direct competitor and they're not using my resources, but I actually really care. When I am paying them an hourly rate to work or a salary, I don't want them doing other work. I'll give them more work. Mm-hmm. But to me, that's terminable. Am I too hard on this, guys? I just think it's really bad if I'm paying them.
I think I would discipline first, but I think that.
Eventually, but I would have a low tolerance for that.
I think that you have to ask yourself, are you providing enough work? I mean, that would be my question to that manager. If you have someone who has so much time where they can run a very successful small business on the side.
They can code.
Right. Well, then you kind of have to ask yourself, are you giving that person enough? Are you in touch or in tune enough with what they're working on to make sure that they have enough stuff to stay busy and be productive? Unless they're lying to you and saying, oh, I'm still working on this report. And then they're working on their side hustle. But if they're just sitting there, like, then that's kind of on the manager, I'd say.
I think that's true, and also I think it's different for, it depends how you measure productivity at your office. Mm-hmm. If it's someone who's on a salary and it's project by project or deadline basis, I think I have less of a problem with it than if it's an hourly, because it just hourly just translates directly. It's like every you're paying for the time, so if the time's not being spent doing something for your company's mission, then it's harder to justify it for yourself, say, oh, wait, why am I paying that person?
Right.
They're truly working for, you know, something else.
Right.
I agree. I think that's a good point. And what about remote work? Because that's where we're looking at for in prep of this podcast. And we're seeing that the lion's share of the problem is with remote workers because you don't monitor them as closely.
I have a friend and during the pandemic, like the height of the pandemic, he's like, dude, Jeff, I'm working like two full-time jobs. They don't know. It's great. Yeah. It's like, yeah.
If you can get the work done and you get it done well to a high standard, why not get the double salary? Why not?
I think there's a, I would have a, if I found out if I was an employer, I'd have a problem with that. That one would be probably a terminable offense, but I think people do it. And
noted.
I think the remote work, you don't know, you know, I mean, you don't know. And so that's something.
But you know what other people say? I talked to someone who has two full-time jobs at home and they said, you know, there's other people that are working remotely and I know they're playing with their kids and they're going and going on a 2-hour bike ride. So I'm happening to spend my extra time working a second
making some
job.
Money for myself.
I don't have children. No, I don't can't ride a bike. What am I going to do? Keep working.
That's me.
I would feel guilty not telling my employer. I would feel guilty. I'd have to tell
them. I get the need. And I look at my friend and it's like, yeah, he's the sole provider and he's got the time and he's a hustler. And so I'm not going to take that away from him. The guy works super hard. And so I doubt that the quality's gone down for either of the companies. And I don't think he's still doing it. I think it was temporary.
The other thing is, I agree with Jack when he's saying, because salary, that person may work till 1 a.m. from 6 a.m. to 1 a.m. on two jobs. So they're working 8 hours for each job versus hourly, you are on the clock from, let's
That's
say,
very different. Yeah.
To me, it's very different. I agree with you, Jack, on that one.
I think that also, thank you for agreeing with me. That's going in my that's going in my journal.
One time my mother agreed.
Agreed with me. Holy crap. It felt unfamiliar.
You're without words now because I agree with you.
I need to sit on the floor.
It's spinning.
Can't see. I don't know how to do that. But wait, I was gonna say something really good to follow up really good thing. I think when you said guilt, I would feel guilty if I was working for a competitor. I think that's not right, and I think that it's hard when you're using a company's equipment to complete another company's work.
Okay.
I think those are the two for me that I would feel guilty about.
Good, good. I'm glad you feel guilty because you should for that.
Okay, so there obviously are some concerns with moonlighting. So what are some of your final tips for companies to navigate the issue?
Well, I would just have your policies kind of dialed in. I'd have a conflict of interest policy. I'd have a moonlighting policy. And then probably a remote work agreement or policy if you have those, you know, employees still out there. But I would define these terms, what is a conflict of interest and when moonlighting becomes a problem, if you're coming to work tired, things like that. You don't want to restrict the employee too much, but you do want to set the parameters to protect the company and the company's property and resources.
Right, because if you restrict the employee too much, you know they've got a second job they can just jump right to. Right.
Exactly, and that's what I'm talking about, the leverage. You have to be careful. You have to tread lightly here. Mm-hmm. In a tight labor market.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we have to be careful here. But I agree with Jeff. I like that. Also, on your moonlighting policy, you know, it is fine to say when you're on a leave of absence from us for a medical reason, you can't work another job.
Yes, that's
fine. If you're on FMLA, I see that where people say, oh, I'm too sick to work, but then they're out selling real estate. That is, to me, a reasonable restriction.
Absolutely.
Interesting.
Absolutely.
Right. And also, it sounds like do some self-reflection. If you find people are moonlighting, maybe you're not paying them enough. Maybe you're not giving them enough tasks to do. Right. So look inward and see, okay, what can we change to make this a more enticing or lucrative job?
Right. And don't take it personally because some employees, it's just not their jam and they're trying to move themselves up in the world. And so
period.
And don't some jobs that, are boring.
But, you know, that's just, that's life, right? Some jobs are boring, right?
Yeah.
I'm not going to work at the Disney store for the rest of my life, all right? I'm in high school. No.
That's right.
I mean, I worked at a photo booth and it was so boring. I said, can I do homework? And she says, please, we get one customer every 2 hours. You know what I mean?
Right,
so,
right.
You know, self-reflection is good. I think that's important.
Absolutely.
Moonlighting. Think about it. Think about yourself. Think about the company. Think about what your needs are. And make it a good movie. Right. It's like Moonlight. Have you guys seen Moonlight? It's a great movie.
Yeah, share.
It's not about...
Oh, I haven't seen it. No,
that's Moonstruck.
Oh. Oh, you're the one that won the Academy Award but was not given the Academy Award. It was given to La La Land, and then they had to come back on stage.
That's crazy.
Was it that? I felt...
Yep.
I think it was, because we also all wanted Moonlight to win, and everyone was like, yes! And then it was like, actually, it's La La Land. And I was like, no.
So Jack is going to begin writing a script about moonlighting and gig economy. Yeah. So stay tuned.
Stay tuned. I think the most interesting thing would be to sell the jewelry in the bathroom. I think that's the most effective business plan.
Bring back the 80s.
Bring back the 80s.
All right. We have a couple announcements. We do have our SHRM activity code for this episode. It is 247QPTQ. That's 247QPTQ. And then a couple upcoming events. Labor Day is coming up on September 4th. We will not be here, but we will be replaying one of our popular episodes from season one.
Ooh.
We also have our Essentials of Management course coming up September 19th through the 20th. It's a two-day seminar covering a number of topics, everything from managing medical, wage and hour, to documentation and discipline. So join us for that.
Yeah, it's virtual and via Zoom, and it's filling up fast. So go to managementnorthwest.com on that one.
Yeah, we hope to see you.
See you there.
Well, I got to go do my side gig. You know, I'm going to go start selling snickerdoodle candles. And,
I've got to load up. I've got to load up on candles. So I'll see you at your office. All right, have a good one, you guys.
Yeah, have a good one and have a mayhem-free week.
Have a mayhem-free life.
Okay, bye, guys.
Managing Mayhem is presented by Management Northwest and Management Southwest and cannot be copied or rebroadcast without prior written consent. By listening to this podcast, you understand that we, or at least two of us, are lawyers, but we are not your lawyers. Therefore, nothing we say on the podcast should be taken as legal advice or considered to create an attorney-client relationship. It is solely meant for your educational and informational purposes. The podcast should not be used as a substitute for legal advice from an attorney licensed in your state. Please be aware that listening to lawyers can cause side effects such as migraines, self-doubt, and also may cure insomnia. But you know what? Trust your own judgment, or you're not your mom.